Gemara Sanhedrin on Daf Chaf Gimel discusses a system of priorities. Let's say you have a dispute between two litigants about where to judge, where to be judged. So sometimes one litigant can disqualify the other's selected court, and other times they can't. And some of the factors that the Gemara discusses are, let's say, where the court is it local or is it far away? What is exactly the court's level? Are they hediotos? Are they not qualified to be judges, or are they qualified to be judges? And the third question is, who is demanding what? What is the demand of the malva, of the lender who has the upper hand, and what is the demand of the lova, who has the lower hand? One of the cases that the Gemara does not discuss is that of stature, or variations of stature amongst people who are qualified to be judges. In other words, what happens if the lova says, to the malva, the beis din that you picked is not as wise as the beis din that I picked? Or what if the malva says to the lova, the beis din that you picked, I'm disqualifying that beis din, not because it's far away, and not because they're not qualified, but simply because they're less qualified than my beis din. So does the malva have that right? Can he disqualify the lova's beis din simply because that beis din is less qualified, even though they are fully qualified to be judges? And as an aside, in order to be fully qualified to be a judge, so a person really needs to be a Bucky and Wool of Shas, or High Goan Rights, that it has to be that we ask him questions, and that he never makes a mistake. If he ever makes mistakes, then he's not really qualified. So this is like a really high level. He's very highly qualified, but the Malva says, my court is even more highly qualified. As another aside, how exactly does one judge different levels of qualification amongst people who are never make a mistake when asked a question about Gemara or about Halacha? So One might suggest, and this is a suggestion that the Kesef Mishnah makes in the second parak of Hilchos Mamrim, that maybe being a Baki in other Chachmos will determine a person's stature, such as, let's say that a person, two people, they're both perfect knowledge of Gemara, but one of them is a bigger Chachman in Sifri Musar than the other one. One of them is a bigger Chacham in Medrash Rabbah, than the other one, etc. So that would be a way of determining stature amongst two people who are perfect Bekiyim in all of Shas. Alternately, one might suggest that the way to distinguish and differentiate between these two people is based on their respective Darkei Halimud, by their methods of analysis, or their fortes, as Rabbi Avadim Yosef suggests, based on the Gemara and Horios, that maybe one can give precedence to a person who has greater analytic capacities, or maybe you could give precedence to a person who has greater familiarity with certain tshuvos and other types of halachic literature over somebody with greater analytic capacity. So these are different possible ways to measure degrees of chachma amongst people who are perfect bekiyim in all of Shas. Anyhow, the question is, can a malva say that because the lova chose a beis din which is less in stature, despite being fully perfect bekiyim in all of Shas, can the malva be disqualified as beis din? So that's a machlokas between the Ramban and Rabbeinu David. The Ramban says that under these circumstances, the malva can indeed disqualify the beis din of a lova. The malva can say, look, my beis din is stronger, it's more qualified, it's wiser, therefore you cannot use the beis din that you suggested, we have to use the beis din that I suggested. And Rabbeinu David says, no, that since both batei din are qualified, both of them are perfect bekiyim in all of Shas, therefore the malva cannot disqualify the beis din of the lova. So I want to just discuss a little bit the conceptual ramifications of this issue. In general, when two people both have passed a certain requirement, they've both gotten 100 on their bechina, they've never made a mistake in any halachic question or gemara question that was ever asked for them, when is it possible to differentiate between them in terms of the level of their knowledge, and when is it not possible to differentiate between them? So one example where we for sure do differentiate is the Gemara says, if Chazal made a gzeira, it requires a beast and its gadol b'chachma and b'minyan to overturn that gzeira. So how do we determine whether a beast and its gadol b'minyan? How do we determine whether the later beast is greater in number than the former beast? So we say maybe it just depends on the age or the average age of the later beast, and maybe it depends on the number of students that the members of the later beast have in contrast or comparison to members of the former beast, and that's how we measure greatness in numbers. But how about greatness in chachma, greatness in wisdom? And presumably, both of the Bati Din are equally competent. The first basin was perfect Bikiyim in all of Shas and Halacha, and the second basin was perfect Bikiyim in all of Shas and Halacha. Otherwise, you're not qualified to be a Beastin. So how does one measure Chachma, or how is it possible even to talk about being greater in Chachma? So it must be that when it comes to overturning the Gzeira of an earlier Beastin, we do acknowledge differences in Chachma amongst people who are equally qualified. And the same thing, we know that there's an idea of Poskim and Atzad, that by Dini Nefashos, we start from the smallest member of Beastin. Smallest member of Beastin means the smallest, presumably in wisdom, or maybe in Chachma and wisdom. But we have a way of ranking, even though all the members of Beastin are equally competent in Gemara and in Halacha, we can still rank them on a scale of smallest to largest, and that's going to be based on some other characteristic, and possibly that characteristic relates to their Chachma. And the same thing, Muflash al Beastin, you know, there's somebody who's considered to be for sure clearly the leader, the head of the Beastin. So maybe that's a function of authority and, you know, power, but maybe that's also a function that we give a person authority and power because they are acknowledged to be greater than the rest of the Beastin in Chachma. So these are all possibilities. The only one which is really absolutely clear that we acknowledge a distinction in Chachma is in terms of overturning an earlier Gzeira, where Chachma, in addition to Minyan, enables a later Beastin to overturn the decision of an earlier Beastin. There are some other areas where it's a matter of debate whether we can overturn, whether there's a difference between two people who are equally qualified, who are equally Bikim and Shas, just that one is bigger and the other is smaller. The Gemara in Shabbos has a discussion. It says that there's three types of Talmid Chachamim. One type of Talmid Chacham is somebody who doesn't necessarily have any particular amount of knowledge, but he's makbid on Kavod HaTorah. He makes sure that his clothing are clean in order to uphold the good reputation of Torah scholars and of Torah in general and of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And such a person has certain dinim. Then the second level that the Gemara says in Shabbos is a person who's well-versed in Masechta Dekala. So there's a discussion amongst Rishonim what exactly it means. Let's say for now, like Tosfos points out, that it means that he knows a Masechta that his yeshiva is learning. So he knows Masechta Dekala. So the Gemara says that person is Rawi, he is suitable to be appointed the rabbi in a town. And then the Gemara says a third level of Talmud Chacham is somebody who is well-versed in the entire Shas, which sounds very similar to what we've been discussing in terms of qualifications to be a Dayan. And the Gemara says that a person who is well-versed in the entire Shas is qualified to be appointed as a Rish Masifta, as a head of a yeshiva. It's qualified not only to be the rabbi of a town, but also to be a teacher and the head of Masifta, to have, I guess, halachic teaching authority over even other Talmidei Chachamim. One, the Rebbe Kiva Eger brings down a tshuva of the Tashbates, who suggests that maybe the reason that the Gemara is giving us these three madrigos is to tell us that once there are two candidates who both have satisfied this criteria, two candidates for the position of a community rabbi, who both are, you know, Bekim and Masechta Dekala, two candidates for the position of Reish Masifta, who are both qualified in terms of, you know, knowing the entire Gemara and never making a mistake when asked a halachic question, or never, you know, failing to give the source in Gemara for any halachic statement, so then they both deserve equal consideration. That's what Rabbi Kiyager quotes B'Shem the Tashbites. I have to look that up again, but I'm pretty sure that's what one of the possibilities that the Tashbites gives in terms of understanding this Gemara. I have one quick further nafkamina, which is not 100% mukhrach, but it's interesting to consider. The Gemara earlier on, at the end of the first parak, was discussing smicha, and it talked about Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who gave smicha together with two other people. And the Gemara mentioned Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, and it did not mention the other two people. So why not? Because of the kavod of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. Because we wanted to give honor to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava, who was more exceptional than the two people who participated with him in giving the smicha. So the question is, what made Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava more exceptional? So one possibility that he was more exceptional because he had smicha, meaning he was a baki in kala tarakula, and the other two people didn't have smicha. They were not baki in kala tarakula. So he was more exceptional because he had passed the threshold of being deserving of smicha d'oraisa, and the other two people had not passed that threshold, and therefore they were clearly less deserving of kavod than Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava. However, some Yishonim say that it must be that the other two people who were with Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava had also passed that threshold, had also received smicha d'oraisa, because they were deserving of receiving smicha d'oraisa because they knew kala tarakula. If so, the question becomes, why were they not mentioned? They had all passed, basically what's the ultimate threshold in terms of recognition of Torah accomplishments. They both received smicha d'oraisa, which one can only receive when one is a baki in all different parts of Torah. So one has to answer that even so, when it comes to according kavod to greater Talmid Chacham, and to distinguishing him and making him unique and differentiating him from lesser Talmidei Chachamim, that it's not simply a matter of passing thresholds, and that everybody who's passed a certain threshold is deserving of an equal amount of kavod, but that we make differentiations and that we single out the most exceptional Talmid Chacham of a group, forgetting the most kavod, even though all the Talmidei Chachamim of that group are exceptional and have passed the threshold, even that of smicha d'oraisa, of perfect bekiyos in Gemara and in Halacha.